From the hills of West Virginia to the high rises of Chicago. For over 30 years, Dan Frio has mastered the real estate market as one of the country's premier mortgage advisors. Dan is now sharing his experience and knowledge with the AM 560 audience. So sit back and learn how Dan has helped his clients manage the ups and downs of the real estate market across the country. Now, here's the host of the Mortgage Update, Dan Frio.
Good morning. This is Dan Frio. Thanks for tuning in. It's a Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. You hear me every Saturday morning. And as soon as we're done here, I got to throw the mic down. I'm heading to the Northwestern Iowa State game. So when this show first came available to me, I'll be honest with you, it took a lot of convincing for me to do the show. The reason why is there's so many shows out there that I even listen to that they're like templated, or it's an infomercial that you hear for half hour, 45 minutes or an hour. I didn't want that. I didn't want that kind of show. I wanted a show that, you know, what's in it for you? I want some educational tools for you in regards to if you're looking to buy a house, the economy, the credit, your credit, a bunch of things like that. And we cover a lot of topics on the show. So, that being said, what we're going to talk about today is we're getting a lot of phone calls in. So a good portion of the show is going to be a Q&A session to go over the calls that we're getting. And if you want to reach out to us and let us know your questions, just call 833-DAN-FRIO, which is D-A-N-F-R-I-O. So today I want to introduce you to someone who helps us and also helps you. He's a good friend of mine, Dave Ablin. He's a sponsor of the show, and he's a realtor. And I wanted him to come in here right now because I found out some information in the last few days, and it was kind of intriguing to me. The home sales, they're smoking right now, and they're still going pretty well, even though the time of year right now in Chicago, it's going to get cold, and people are going to kind of stop looking. But the intriguing part of the information that I gathered was 33% of the buyers right now are millennials. Or first-time home buyers. They're younger people. So I want to introduce Dave, and we're going to go over some questions, you know, that a lot of people have, and hopefully answer those questions for you, such as, how much do you need as a down payment? What's your credit score need to be? And why we recommend using a realtor. So, morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Got a big cup of coffee there, Buster.
I do.
Your eyes are still red.
They
early
are.
In the morning. So, Dave, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been a realtor for 28 years and business guy, and I've done everything from, of course, first-time home buyers to luxury homes to custom building, everything in between.
What's the best way to get a hold of you?
My direct cell phone, 847-208-4500. You could text me, call me, and I'm around.
Sweet. Let's get on to some of the questions that we have. And this is, George, why aren't we playing the audio of these calls?
Well, when you first recorded the greeting for the voicemail line, which is 833-DAN-FRIO, we did not include something saying your call might be used on the air. We may face some repercussions if we do so without those people's permission. We are now changing that greeting, and after today, calls that come in, we can play on the air.
Okay. Well, I wanted to do this, and I greatly appreciate everybody calling in. When you do call in, you'll be able to record your question. Today, I'm going to read them because we're going to try to go through or cover a lot of these topics. And I guarantee this isn't just the person who called in. It's not just their question. It's questions that there's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners out there. You're going to have the same question. So let's get to it. First, the first caller is Ann from Beverly neighborhood of Chicago. She called in the 833-DAN-FRIO. She says, I've owned my house since 1997, and I've never refinanced. I pay a little extra each month, but I still owe $63,000 at 7.5% rate. Holy moly. She's about $20,000 ahead of the amortization schedule. As a widow nearing retirement, I've been focusing lately on ways to decrease my monthly expenses. By the time I pay off my mortgage, I will already be retired for about 4 years. Does it make sense to think about refinancing? So, Dave, there's the question. What would be your intake? I'm not setting you up.
Sorry.
There's probably no, there might be a right or wrong reason, I do this for a living.
Yeah.
You're a great realtor, but there's a lot of pieces of the financing part. I always say, I'll let you do your job, you let me do mine.
Sure.
But so your take on this is probably going to be the consumer take. So one of the reasons why I had you here today as well.
Well,
so
there's a few things. You know, you've got to go over the numbers, obviously, with your mortgage person, maybe with your accountant. You have to look at the big picture and see what's going to be beneficial in the long run.
Yeah.
Or I should say in the short run in this case. Also, possibly even selling her house and buying something smaller could be an option. I think maybe even reverse mortgage might be an option.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know much about that. Yeah. I know just enough to make me dangerous. So that's all you.
Got it.
So I'd go over the 3-4 different options and then steer her in the right direction.
So here, if she called me directly, here's some of the questions that I would ask her. Some of the information that I kind of need to put, I always say, you know, it's a puzzle. Let me put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Sure.
So, do you have a second mortgage? Do you have other debt? Does your house need repairs? You've been there a long time. Do you need maybe windows, carpet? Are you looking to finish, upgrade anything? But let's just take it for its face value. This is where she's at. So the best advice I would give is if you're really struggling with your payments, what we might want to do is refinance you back to a 30-year term. I would highly suggest you not do that unless you have to, okay? So what we might want to do is her rate's high. You know, rates today are in the 3s, low 4s-ish. We could probably refinance her to a, what was the term she took? Since 1997. So 9, 10, the 20, refinance her to a maybe a 10-year term. The rate might be, depending on her credit, we're going to go over some credit issues later, is her rate's probably going to be half of what she's paying now. So she could probably refinance to a 10-year mortgage, lower her payments, and still pay a ton less interest and pay it off in a shorter time period. Because you're looking to retire, you know, this structured loan, you know, you're still going to have a mortgage for 4 years after you retire. Let's try to structure it that it comes due or it's paid off when you retire. So that would be my answer to that. But there's a lot of pieces of that puzzle that I don't have. Thanks, Ann. The next caller we have is Gary P. from Bartlett. He called 833 Dan Frio. He said, my father is moving home to India to care for my grandmother, and I'm moving into his house. I want to buy from him, but I'm worried that buying from a family member for less than market value might make getting a mortgage difficult. Your thoughts, Dave?
I would say you're lucky to buy below market value. Ooh. Take advantage, right?
Yeah, seriously. That's
the beauty of having a family. Yeah, without a question. You know, have a couple agents in there to give you a good market appraisal. You don't have to hire an appraiser and then get a mortgage and wrap it up.
Got it. So here's what I actually do a lot of these. I have about 2 or 3 of these deals going right now. There's actually a reverse situation right now, but I have one that's the kids are buying mom and dad's house. So the house value is like, I'm going to say like 400 grand. The parents only owe like 200 grand. They're like, you know what? We basically, it's our only child. They're going to get the house anyways.
Yeah.
So I structured it, believe it or not, you can structure it to pay. We'll basically purchase the home at 200 grand. Well, basically, they're going to buy it at 400 grand, theoretically. They're going to get a gift of equity for the 200, and they're going to get a mortgage for 200 grand. Here's where that helps. We're going to take the market value and make that kind of the purchase price, as long as mom and dad are okay with selling it at that because of capital gains. But now they're at a 50% loan to value. They're going to mortgage is $200,000 on a $400,000 home. Okay. Couple benefits of that. One, I'll structure it. They need no money at closing. Zero. The next thing is now you're at a 50% loan to value. There's no PMI. Okay. Otherwise, they might have had PMI, depending on where they go.
And for what people don't know what that is, it's private mortgage insurance.
Right.
Of course.
So anytime you finance over 80%, you need PMI. So if you go to a standard mortgage company, they might say, well, how much does mom and dad want for the property? 200. Okay. We'll do a $200,000 purchase. Well, now you need 3 or 3.5% or 5% down payment. Okay, that's, let's say three, that's $6,000. Now you're going to have all your title costs and title fees and lender fees. That could be another $5,000. So now you're going to have to bring $10,000 plus to closing. Easy.
Sure.
I'll structure it that we're going to use a different purchase price because the market bears what it is. And the mom and dad are going to give you a gift of equity. We're going to finance basically everything they owe, pay off their mortgage. In there, we're going to have your closing costs and everything else. I'll structure it that you bring zero to closing. So again, no PMI. And also your interest rate, believe it or not, your interest rate is tagged to your credit scores is one of the adjustments. The other is your loan to value. So now you have an interest rate based on 50% loan to value. if your credit score is good, your rate is going to be phenomenal because you're at 50% loan to value.
Yeah.
So the going rate on 80%, you know, loan to value or 90% loan to value might be, I'm making this up, but might be 4.375. At 50, might be 3.75.
Sure.
So that's going to pay off huge in the long run. So I would love to help you in this situation, get that whole thing structured for you.
And real quick, and the benefits in the future when they sell, because, you know, we're allowed to make so much profit on our own home. They might want to keep it as an investment in the years to come.
Right.
And then buy another house.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to worry about all the capital gains and all that because, you know, you're...
Yeah, there's so many benefits to that. And if you're blessed to have that opportunity, call me because I'll get you into that house. Thanks, Jerry from Bartlett. All right, so coming up after the break, we're going to go over some more Q&A, and then we're going to end the show on a credit hack. So today we have a special guest, Dave Ablin. He's a realtor friend of mine as well as a sponsor. He's phenomenal when it comes to real estate. One of the best negotiators I know. So if you need a realtor, I appreciate you using Dave.
Thank you.
So we will be right back. Don't go away.
Now, more of the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's your host, Dan Friel.
And now we're back. Thanks for not going anywhere. So we're going to continue today's show. This is Dan Freer, the Mortgage Update, with my friend Dave Ablin. He's a good friend of mine and a realtor. So we're going to continue. Today's show is Q&A. And, you know, some of these might relate to you. Or, you know what? What's kind of cool is when you're sitting there listening, and then all of a sudden, you know, you know what? My brother's in that situation. Or, hey, I got a coworker that was just talking to me yesterday about this. The reason why I do the show, there is so much misinformation out there. Finally, that's why I started this show. And again, it took a lot of people convincing me to do this because I'm like, who wants to talk about real estate for an hour? There's a ton of shows out there, and I listen to a lot of them, and I listen for about 15 minutes and I'm gone. So, but let's get on to the next question, Dave. So we got Andrew J. from Tinley Park. He called 833-DAN-FRIO. That's our toll-free line. It says, my fiance and I live together in a house I own, but we're not getting married for another year. She's pressuring me to put her on title to my home, but I'm wondering if there's an advantage of doing that now. Dave, you had to have come across this before.
Yeah.
Young people that aren't married buying a home. Well, I get the willies.
All right. So, you know, I guess this can vary with every situation, but I would talk to, you know, I would
get a prenup.
Yeah, I would hold off for a little bit there. Yeah. Make sure the marriage goes through. And then once you're married, you can always put her on, you know, you can always put her on the mortgage after you're married and everything is honky dory.
So I mean,
would hold off on that.
The technicals here are there's two pieces. And this is what a lot of people don't understand. You have the mortgage, and then you have what's called the vesting of ownership of the home. So does she want to be on the vesting of the home, or does she want to be on the mortgage? Are you looking to refinance? Okay, if you're looking to refinance, that might be a whole different animal. She might help you. She might get you to qualify for the refinance mortgage. Maybe not. Or is she just wants to be on the ownership of the home? Okay, now if you're refinancing and you need her to do that, I'm still 50-50 on if I would do that. If she just wants to be on the vesting or the ownership of the home, what's the rush?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. And Illinois is a homestead state. So once you are married and she lives there basically for one day and is deemed her primary home, she has 50% ownership anyways.
Generally,
so it doesn't
yes.
matter.
Yeah.
You might be a good example.
Yeah, that raises a red flag. You know, when they're asking a year out to be put on, you know, ownership of a home.
Yeah. Why? What's the rush? Yeah. So I would, and who is Andrew? God bless you. But if you're asking me my opinion, I would hold off. And if that creates huge issues, you figure out what you want to do.
And, so, and by the way, that goes in reverse, too. If the guy wants to go on a woman's mortgage, hold off.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, really.
Yes. So if this was Susan talking about soon-to-be fiancé, my answer would be exactly the same. So, but thanks, Andrew, for calling. Deepak from Niles called in to 833-DAN-FRIO. And Deepak says, my wife's father is ill and in a nursing home. It's clear that he won't be returning home. He bought his house for cash, but it's not up to great shape. I would like to advise on whether to sell as is, fix and sell, fix and rent. What else would he do? So, Dave?
Well, you know, obviously we'd go over, are you ready and prepared to be a landlord? And if that is a possibility, then of course, and it is rentable, then that's a good option. It's another investment tool. If not, then you sell. And, you know, that's the beauty of having a professional realtor come in and tell you what, you know, what work needs to be done. You don't want to put 50 grand in it if you can only get 30 out of it. So before you do a big remodeling project, talk to a professional, talk to a realtor, and then go from there.
Here's what I see a lot in my, in, even in my neighborhood. You'll have somebody that's lived there for, you know, 15 years. And not that they neglected the house, but they really never did anything with the house. Then all of a sudden you see these, you know, you see a truck up front that's doing gutters, and then you HVAC, and then you have carpet people, and then you have cabinetry people and all that. It's like, man, you must be doing pretty well, or you retired or got a chunk of change or inheritance. Now you're putting all this money in the house. You're fixing up. Cool. But then you talk to them and said, yeah, we're doing all this because we want to sell.
Yeah.
Here's one of the things that, and we talked about this in the last show, is you have all this fix and flip stuff right now. One of the segments was, and it's a question basically for you, Dave, is the math never added up. And yeah. I do this for a living, and I go to some of these fix and flip seminars, and I don't, these guys are making more money on selling you a ticket to attend than I think they're making money.
Sure.
So the thing was, the current value of the home is 200 grand. So you can sell it for 200 grand as is. Or I put $100,000 into it, and now I sold the house for $300,000. That's a $100,000 profit.
Yeah.
That doesn't, if I got 200 and I put 100,000 into it, now my in is 300, but, and I'm selling it for 300. So basically it's well, zero out anyway.
Sure. You're losing all the time you invested. You're losing all the carrying costs, because it's going to take you at least a month, if you're fast, to remodel a house. Then you've got to flip it. That's going to be 1, 2, 3 months. Then you got another 30 to 45 days for a closing if it's quick. And then you've got closing costs. You got to pay, even, let me just put it this way. This is a tricky thing. You've got to really make sure you buy a flip properly, because I've seen a lot of realtors lose money on flips. It doesn't matter. You could be in the business and lose money if you don't buy it right.
So Deepak, my answer would be, is get a realtor involved. Does the house, would fixing it up give you that much more in profits at the end of the day? Or do you just dump it as is? Don't worry about that. Because getting involved with contractors and permits and all this, that you're opening another can of worms there. Plus, when you start getting into other things, you might break down a wall or do this, and then you get in there and there's mold and this. Not that I'm wanting you to sell a house with mold, but there might be issues that you just don't know what you're getting into. So if you could sell it as is, you know, that might be the way to go. But if you could put in 20 grand and make an extra 50 grand, God bless you, do it that way.
Right.
So thanks, Deepak, for calling 833-DAN-FRIO. So our next call from Sam from Mount Prospect. Sam says, I'm a 23-year-old and my parents are yelling at me for suggesting I might buy a house without a realtor. They really want me to move. Do I need a realtor? Can I save money? Dude, this is right up your alley. You're up.
All right. So, yeah, we get a lot of those. Anyway, when you're buying, it's free to have a realtor, to have somebody professional that's going to look out for your best interest, find you the best deal, you know, hopefully be honest with you. Don't just push in any home, help you negotiate the best deal. You know, when you're selling properties for a living, you hopefully will learn to be a good negotiator. Some agents aren't, some agents are. But you get that benefit and it's all free. Also, a realtor can help you negotiate, let's say, a seller to give closing costs or down payments for you to help you out. They see issues that maybe you don't see. Maybe it backs up to power lines or it's closer to a main road. All these things that a professional can see and advise you so you make the right decision. And guess what? It's free. So why wouldn't you?
It is.
You'd be a fool not to.
You're right. Right.
I mean,
right.
Simple.
So if you're selling your house, that might be a different story. And we won't cover that because that's not a part of the question. But if you're looking to buy a house, here's what I get a lot of times. Here's some of the questions that I get. It's like, Dan, I really want to buy a house. So I'm just going to go online and try to find something. First thing I always say, exactly what you said. Use a realtor. It's free.
Yeah.
Okay. So then the next thing they come about. So if you don't use a realtor, you find a house on realtor.com.
Right.
What are you going to do? I'll ask Sam from Mount Prospect. What are you going to do? You got to go see that home. So how are you going to go see it? So here's the comeback that I get sometimes. I'll call the listing agent on the listing, because she or he can work a better deal because they're getting both sides of the commission. What's your say?
All right. So this is a very advanced question. They can go into details, but essentially, the listing agent represents the seller. They have a fiduciary agreement to represent them, to get them the best deal and all that. If they're going to represent both sides, it's called dual agency. And then they're supposed to follow the rules where they represent both sides equally and all that stuff. You're not going to get any better deal. I mean, you're actually, once they step out of the picture, you're going to have to do the negotiation and so forth, all that on your own to get the best deal. And you're just far better having an agent who represents you and is looking out to get you the best deal, because they're going to actually negotiate for you. When you go directly, that doesn't happen. Get a realtor that's looking out for your best interest, Sam.
Yeah. It's real simple. I mean, so thanks, Sam, for that question that you had, and good luck going house shopping. All right, so we're up against the clock right now. We'll be back after the news and a couple ads. Don't go away.
We now return to the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Here's Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. And I want to say thanks to Sam's last question from Mount Prospect, who was asking, should he use a realtor? So that throws some questions to me. A lot of younger, I won't even say that. A lot of people that are looking to buy a home, the misconception there is, I want to find, you know, everybody's looking for a needle in a haystack. You know, they're looking for the best price, the lowest price. You know, I had a guy that was looking for 3 years. Every time a property would come up, he would go in, the house is worth, you know, value priced at 300 grand. He'd go in at 200. He's like, I want a good deal. Unfortunately, on my side of the stream is those deals are gone. I mean, you can't fire sale these houses anymore. But Dave, the benefits of a realtor, and the show isn't going to be an infomercial on realtors. Don't take it that way. It's an educational tool on the question. What does a realtor do? Do you really need one? If you didn't, I'd be the first one to tell you. You don't need it. Save the money. But when you're buying a home, I 100% of the time tell you to use a realtor. And Dave is one of the guys I go to. So Dave, negotiation part of the deal. What are you negotiating when you go in that maybe a consumer, or let's, and I'll preface this, a first time buyer might not or probably won't know.
Right. So again, if we're going to pinpoint negotiation, first of all, the more experience a realtor has, the better negotiation skills they have for their client. There's a thing called CNE, Certified Negotiation Expert. You should use a realtor that is one, because they've taken extra courses to make them better at negotiating. But what you do is you're taking out being the person that's directly negotiating with the seller. So if you say the wrong thing or you come in too low, you could lose the deal. You can, you know, aggravate the seller, for lack of better words, and upset them. People take negotiations very personally. So if you don't do it right, you can actually make it worse for you. And the seller doesn't want to come down in price, or, you know, vice versa. So you have to be careful about that. So having a third party in there doing the negotiation for you, but looking out for your best interest, is a phenomenal thing that you should do. Also, there's inspection issues that you may have to negotiate credits. There's stuff on the contract as far as terms. You know, you want to be able to, maybe it's a certain date that you find out that the seller really wants. Well, closing a week earlier might get you a couple grand better deal. There's a lot of variables, and that's what we look for.
Here's something that always gets, especially with the younger buyers and newer realtors. Here's the issue that I get into a lot. Is they go in, I pre-approve them for a $200,000 home. Okay. We put them into the first-time home buyer program, 3% down. You don't need 5. You don't need 10. You don't need 20% down. You need 3. Okay. So they're buying a $200,000 home and they're in the 3% down program. Okay. I go back to them and they look at the numbers. They're like, "That cool. I got $9,000 in the bank." What's the problem that you see already if the person has $9,000 in the bank, they're buying a $200,000 home at 3% down?
Yeah. Well, there's obviously going to be closing costs and, you know, and also when they move in, they might want to have a little bit of money, you know, left over. So there's a lot. So correct. That's one of the things is you, the loan officer, would say, hey, you know, it's better to tell the realtor, hey, negotiate in a closing cost credit.
Right.
So we know.
So here's what a closing cost credit. Let me run some numbers for you for those that don't get it. So you're buying a $200,000 home. You're getting into my first time home buyer program, which is only 3% down. So there's $6,000. Okay. So now let's start adding to that. What are there costs involved in this? Well, yeah, there is. So I won't elaborate exactly, you know, go into detail about these things, but you're going to have lender fees. Lender fee might be like $1,500. Okay. So that's that part. You're going to have and I highly recommend a home inspection. And Dottie's one of our sponsors, and her information will be given at the end of the show. And there'll be some commercials running in here between segments. Okay, you don't have to get a home inspection. I highly, highly, highly suggest it. Okay, so that's $500. Now you legally don't need an attorney. I would never recommend somebody go through this ordeal, I'll call it an ordeal, without an attorney. The attorney's fee is probably going to be $500. Okay, so now you have your title fees. That's to close the loan, to insure the loan, to make sure all the deeds are filed and all this other stuff. Believe it or not, that's probably going to be about $3,000 to $4,000. I'll break it down as $3,500. So let's add this up. You had $9,000 in the bank, but you only thought you really needed $6,000. So we got $6,000 down. $1,500 in cost, another $500, another $500, another $3,500. So we got $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. Now we're up to $12,000. Yeah. Far cry from the $6,000 that you kind of thought you needed.
Yeah, there's also buyer fees in certain parts of Chicago and around.
So I would talk with Dave when I got this person pre-approved, and this is where your mortgage advisor comes into play, where you need a team of people working together to get you into this house. So I'll get you pre-approved. Realize you only have $9,000. You think you're good, but I already know you're not good because you're going to be short. So I'll get in touch with Dave and say, Dave, we need a seller credit. So here's what happens is Dave will negotiate into the deal. Let's say he does this, and this might be a roundabout way to do this. We'll go back to the seller's willing to take $200,000. Okay. We'll go to the seller and say, you know what? We'll give you $206,000. Well, first Dave's going to try to get the $200,000 and get you maybe a $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000 credit. But if we've already negotiated and the seller is set, they want $200,000 net. That's what they want out of this thing. Dave will go back in and say, okay, how about we give you $207,500 for the house? Okay. So now that extra $7,500, we're going to ask them for a seller credit to give us to cover all those costs that we just went over. So if you take that into consideration, let's do the numbers. You're giving the seller now $207,500. They're giving you $7,500 back. They're still netting exactly what they wanted, the $200,000. It's legal. It's on the contract, and it's a way to take you from not being able to buy that house because you don't have enough money to now you can buy the house. So that's where a team, that's where a realtor comes in and gets involved in saying exactly that. You'd be surprised if you saw how many loans I get to kind of the ending block and the person doesn't have the money. And now we're like, oh boy, now what?
Yeah.
And that hurts.
So two quick things on that. One, the home has to appraise at 207.5.
Yes.
So that's where we know, like, it will or it won't. I mean, sometimes, you know, it might not. So we don't have that much leeway. We have to negotiate them down lower to get that credit. And secondly, by putting it on the loan, their payment might go up a few bucks, but it's worth it.
Right.
It's so worth it because you can't borrow money cheaper.
Right. Or otherwise, you just can't. You couldn't buy the house.
That, and you got to make sure the association fees are in line.
Yeah.
And taxes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, taxes.
And that's another whole other segment. That's missed. So, yeah, right. we can go on and on. So, thanks, Dave, for this segment of the show.
You.
When we come back, we're going to talk briefly, unfortunately, and I hate to say this, we're going to talk about the Bears. And then we're going to go over, Dave and I are going to discuss some credit issues or credit advice that a lot of people don't really know. So stay tuned for that. But we will be back. Don't go away. We'll be back with my buddy Dave, and we're going to go over some credit issues.
You're listening to The Mortgage Update on AM 560. Now, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Welcome back to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. We are answering your questions here with my buddy Dave Atwood. All right, so now I want to go over some of the questions that I got from YouTube last week. So this is from Carol, and she says, I've lived in my house in Southern Illinois since I was 14. I own it outright, but my retirement funds are less than I had planned, and I'm facing a long-term health issue that is not life-threatening, but the treatments are more than I can afford. My kids grew up in the house, and I'm worried that if I do a reverse mortgage, I'll have nothing to leave them when I pass. I've heard people say all sorts of things about this. What's the truth? All right, Dave, I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Yeah.
Reverse mortgage. What do you know about it?
Well, I don't know enough about reverse mortgages. I'll be honest. You know, I think I do, but I really think I don't.
Got it.
So,
you know, and that's a perfectly honest answer.
Yeah.
Because here's what I normally get. And I get this from attorneys, too. Why would I put this Carol into this reverse mortgage? She has a ton of equity in the house. Mm-hmm. And let's say it became terminally ill and she lost her, or she passed in 3 or 4 years. So she's giving up all the equity. She's handing her house over to the bank and lost all that equity that she's put into this house, or she's been there since she's 14. Wrong.
Yeah.
You don't lose the house. So let me go over what a reverse mortgage truly is, the facts, okay? To get a reverse mortgage, you have to be 62 years old or older. Most of the time, a reverse mortgage will give you about 50% of your home's value. So let's say her house is worth 200 grand. She owns it outright. She gets a reverse mortgage, say for 100,000. Now, she could take a lump sum. She could take monthly distributions. She says in here that her monthly pension or whatever she has isn't enough to afford all the treatments. So what I would set her up with is a monthly distribution, kind of like a pension plan.
Right.
So it'll pay her monthly up to the point of like she's at $100,000, you know, in loans outstanding on the property. So now the reverse mortgage piece is this. Here's what truly a reverse mortgage is. A forward mortgage is they give you money and you pay them back. Okay? A reverse is the complete opposite. You're putting up your house as collateral and the bank is paying you. Okay? So let's just say she took a lump sum of 100 grand in this example. So now on a reverse mortgage, the big benefit of that is it's you do not have to make a mortgage payment. You can make a mortgage payment. So she's saying, you know, she's tough on, it's tight on funds. But let's say, for example, you're like, well, I don't really want my mortgage balance to grow. Okay. Well, then send in an interest payment every month to put it toward your interest. But let's say she didn't do any of that. She's just like, you know what? I'm just going to take the money and sit back and just put it in the bank and live off of that money. Okay. So here's what happens is the money accrues interest every month. So let's say every month she has $250 in interest that accrues. Okay. And it accrues. And God willing, she lives for another 20 years. So in 20 years, let's say she owes $150,000. She took out $100,000. The house at the time was worth $200,000. Now it's worth $230,000. Okay. So now she has a $230,000 home and she owes $150,000. She passes. What happens? You don't have to give the house to the bank. What you do is you have a year to do a few things. So, for example, let's say this was my mom. I can go in and say, okay, I want the house now. I can refinance that house in my name. Or I can sell the house and call Dave. He puts the house on the market.
Sure.
He sells it. He sells it for $230,000. We pay off the $150,000 mortgage.
Yeah, you got $80,000 left.
I got my $80,000 equity
minus costs, right. Of course.
So let's say 70, worst case scenario. So that killed a lot of birds with one stone.
Well, not only that, but the kids didn't have to come with the money to help their mother now.
Right.
Which
they
is,
might
if
not
she
have,
didn't,
I mean, it's tough enough to save, you know, I don't know if anybody out there has, you know, kids in college or going to college soon. It's spendy. It ain't cheap. So they might not have the ability to help mom. Hopefully they would, or Carol wouldn't be emailing us saying, you know, is that a good option? So I think it's a phenomenal option in certain areas. Watch who you use. The fees in the on these loans, I hate to say, are kind of unrestricted or unregulated. They kind of are, but they're kind of not. I do them. I do them all the time. And I waive probably half the fees that we are legitimately allowed to charge, but I can't sleep at night if I charge them. So I waive probably half the fees that most lenders will have on a reverse mortgage. So that's basically a reverse mortgage in a nutshell.
It can make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
in a lot of situations.
We'll be right back.
This is the Mortgage Update on AM 560. Once again, here's your host, Dan Frio.
Guess what? It's that time of week again.
Does it have to be?
Yeah. Dude, just so you know. You called it wrong last week.
I know.
And I called it right. And you were just trying to suck up to the Chicagoans out there.
I was
trying
to be nice. I gave a hometown discount on the horrific losses, and I decided to give it to them to one.
Dude. You know,
I gave it to them by 1 point because they were playing in Soldier Field.
We should call this Truthful Radio, okay?
Well, we have a
Truthful
special
radio.
Guest in here. We have the host of the Triple Zeros podcast, Josh Buckholzer.
Woohoo! What's up, Josh?
How you doing, guys?
Awesome.
Get on the mic, Josh.
Okay, so they stunk up the place last week. That was hard to watch. Okay, so now this week we're playing the Chargers,
mm-hmm.
and they're even. I hate to say it, they're even worse.
They are beat up.
Yeah, but we are too. And maybe we should just go to our fifth quarterback because that might help a little bit. So we're gonna go around the table.
Please tell me that's enough.
What's your thoughts on Chargers versus Bears? You're up, man.
I think that they need to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands altogether and just turn around and hand it off about 45 times in the game and see what happens. Just to try something different.
Direct snap to one of the halfbacks. Just a direct snap. Just let Trubisky go off.
We've seen them lose two games throwing 50-plus passes.
Is Tebow available?
Oh. Pray about it.
All right. So what's the scores? Predictions. And be truthful. We're on Chicago radio, but
I picked the Saints to win last week.
How bad is the Chargers defense? That's the real question.
It depends
on
how many of them
be?
They have. So they're not doing too great. They're supposed to get their offensive lineman back. Russell Okung is close to returning. So if they get some more protection for Phillip Rivers, that could be a problem for the Bears defense. But like I said, run. Just run the ball. Yeah. Take it out of the air.
They can run on them all day.
Keep the ball out of Phillip Rivers' hands as well.
Yes.
It's a two-pronged effort when you turn around and hand the ball
So if they can hang on to the ball long enough and they can run it enough.
They have a chance. I still don't think they're going to win, though.
I'm trying desperately to get somebody to say that.
I'm saying it's going to be 20-14 if they get something like that. The Bears will probably get some early points, but then the Chargers
will Mack will score two touchdowns, what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard it right there. Right. Josh Buckholzer.
Awesome.
Host of the Triple Zeros podcast.
Great having
Appreciate
you, buddy.
It. Appreciate it.
He has to get back to his own studio.
All right, Dave. Dave Ablin, the realtor of the year.
Let's see here. I agree. I think just give me a time warp back to 1985 and, you know.
I think that applies
Walter
to most
Payton.
Things.
What do you
I'm
going to
say Bears by seven. I got to go Bears,
Come on,
man.
Buddy.
Come on. I got it.
This will actually podcast throughout the whole country. So just like.
You get the all opportunity right, to embarrass yourself in all 50 states.
Yeah.
All right, George, who are you thinking?
I'm gonna say if the Chargers don't somehow miraculously overcome our defense, Bears by three.
You know what? Everybody keeps talking about the Bears defense, but without Hicks, we're really not doing anything.
We get some pretty good depth in the line.
Right? I don't think it's helping. Okay, so credit hack of the day. Credit. Why is it so important? Well, it might determine if you get that job, if you get that credit card, if you get that auto loan, the rates on your insurance, the rate on your homeowner's insurance, it everything, a mortgage. Are you looking to, you can't even rent if you have bad credit. So it plays that much of an important role in your lives. I had a client that came in and had a 560 credit score. Everything was perfect. So you're looking at it and saying, why is this person a 560 credit score? Well, unfortunately, Well, I look through it, and he's got a Discover card, a MasterCard, a Walmart card, a Target card, and every one of the cards has a $200 credit limit. Dude, you can't go buy a pair of shoes and not be almost maxed out on your credit cards. So I'm looking through, and I'm like, I got an easy fix for you. Call 1, 2, 3, all five of these places. Ask for an increase in your credit line. So here's the comeback I always get. Well, to increase my credit line, aren't they going to pull my credit? Well, yes, they are, and that's a great question. However, let's look at it this way. They pull your credit. Let's say it hits your credit 10 points. Okay, that's probably an average. However, now you went from a $200 limit that you owed $200 on. Now you got it up to $1,000. Now, instead of being maxed out at 100% financing on that card, you're now at 20%. And if you got that on every card, you could potentially pick up 150 points. Now you could be in the high 700s, if not 800. That's my hack of the day. Special thanks out to all the sponsors. Dottie with Echo Home Inspections, she does a fantastic job. Stuart Ramirez, he's a friend of mine also that helps people in with real estate, and he's up on the north side, and he does a fantastic job. Gary Hall, he's a realtor friend of mine in the Hoffman Estates area, and he does a fantastic job. We also have Patrick Noon of PJN Financial Services. Pat can get the IRS off your ASS. And lastly, Tom Mirabali, he was on our show just within the last couple weeks. That show got a ton of responses, especially on podcasts. That's one of my biggest podcasts of the year. So special thanks out to Tom. He helps you with all your health insurance needs. And then Dave Ablin, he's going to be here every couple weeks, giving his intake and just being a part of the show. Dave, tell them how they get a hold of you.
Dave Ablin, HomeSmart Connect, 847-208-4500. Help you buy and sell properties.
God bless you. Take care. I am on my way to the Northwestern game. Let's go. See you next week. Same time, same place.